Can you
But
say that again?
Merkel called Putin today, and they spoke for about 2 hours.
Because I'm recording,
So,
that's why.
yeah. Okay, right. And we don't completely know why. There's been a rather interesting summary on the Kremlin's website, but it's always very elliptical and short. And of course, it's one-sided because it's the Russian side of things. But from what I can gather, she was basically coming down very much on Putin's side with the Ukrainians for once. So maybe there's a push now to see that business sorted out once and for all.
The agenda with Ukraine, or
There were two topics. One was obviously the health crisis, where, by the way, the Germans and the Russians have been following very similar policies and paths, and we'll talk about that soon. But the other, as I said, was Ukraine, and that was quite very, very interesting what they were talking about there, if you believe what the website, the Kremlin website, is saying. But she seems to have criticized the Ukrainians for a change, and admitted that they didn't seem to be carrying out their end of the bargain, in other words, the Minsk agreement. And I don't quite know what that means, but it may very well be that she's now decided that with everything going wrong in her relations with the US, she should try and make a final push to get this thing cleared up, because the pressure to get the thing sorted with from the business community is now becoming extremely strong. Remember, the German economy is going to be in a very deep crisis like everyone else's. So anyway, we need to keep an eye on this. I mean, Merkel, I can't stand her, but she's always an interesting person to watch. I mean, she's like one of those spiders that sort of crawls around. She's very, very calculating in her moves, and she's just sort of, you can see her slowly weaving some kind of plot. And I think Putin, who knows her very well by now, knows exactly what she's about. But that they spoke for such a long time and so intensely is quite interesting. So we'll see what it's about. Clearly, a telephone call that has been that was set up over several days. So I mean, she didn't just call him out of, she didn't pick up the phone and say, "Give me Mr. Putin in Moscow." She was, this is carefully prepared, and with all the foreign policy people on both sides listening in and making all the kinds of recordings that no doubt they do. So we'll see what comes of this.
Any news from Macron?
Right. Well,
France?
that is a very good question. I mean, we will come to him in relation to the European policies shortly in a video we're going to do. But as I understand it, I mean, at the moment, he is again seeing, after a sort of his popularity rose, it's now falling again, and people are beginning to question much of the approach that he's been taking to the whole crisis. And apparently, one of the reasons he's piled into euro bonds so much, even though he knows they're not going to come, is because he's sensing that his popularity in Europe is, in France, is again starting to slip. So it's an odd business. He's also, as I understand it, fallen out badly with Johnson in Britain, who was, remember, his erstwhile ally at one time. But Macron again bears watching. Coming back to what we said a moment ago about Merkel and Putin, I don't think he will like the fact that Merkel telephoned Putin and talked about Ukraine without informing him first and without having him in on the call. Macron's idea is that all these calls should be Merkel and himself with Putin, not just Merkel calling Putin by herself. Having said that, I would add, that doesn't stop Macron calling Putin himself, which he did a few days ago. So, I mean, both Macron and Putin, and Merkel have both called Putin, though for slightly different reasons, as far as I can tell.
Very
Macron's
few, yeah.
Idea, actually, just to say that, I mean, just goes to show the grandiosity of the man. The reason he called Putin is that he's been promoting this extraordinary idea of what he calls a worldwide ceasefire. Now, his idea is that all countries around the world should stop fighting each other whilst the health crisis is underway, and that there should be a worldwide ceasefire. What he, of course, really has in mind is Syria. He wants the Russians and the Syrian army to stand down in Syria. But, you know, Macron is not, would not be Macron if he didn't, package all that in grandiose language. As far as I can tell, Putin said no.
Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison Alexander had a phone call with Trump, Merkel, and Macron.
Oh, really?
The other day, yeah.
Oh, really?
And he's calling for an international investigation as to the origins of the CV, and also taking a look at the WHO. Of course, China's pissed off. They're saying that Australia is taking its marching orders from the US and Macron. Why am I saying this? Because it was Macron who actually told Australia that now is not the time to be assigning blame for this pandemic.
Oh, my goodness.
So well, it looks like Macron is telling Australia to back off of calling for an investigation.
Well, there's going to be an investigation. Yeah. I mean, let's be absolutely clear about this. There's going to be, I mean, there already is a US investigation. I mean, I know that for a fact. I mean, it's not a secret. I mean, it's been in the media in the United States. They are investigating the origins of the corona crisis. There's also an investigation carried out by China. The Chinese, I am sure, have been sending all their teams of investigators to find out exactly who was doing what, where, when, and what kind of messages were passing backwards and forwards. And if you have if you think that the Chinese may be covering up something, which quite possibly they are, they were no doubt going around destroying all the evidence. I mean, you know, that's what they're doing. But the point I am making is investigations are already underway. I think actually it makes complete sense to pool all these various investigations and, you know, to find out exactly how this thing started. I keep an open mind about this. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it was a bioweapon. That's the one thing I don't believe. But it could have been a leak from a laboratory. I'm, by the way, a Russian scientist. Said that, you know, that possibility can't be excluded. So who knows?
Well, I don't know about bioweapon. I disagree with you. I think it quite possibly could be a bioweapon. I think there's a lot of evidence that it could be a bioweapon. I also think there's a lot of evidence that it did leak from the Wuhan lab. And Brett Baer and Fox News actually did a pretty good expose on that.
I stress again, I keep a completely open mind about this. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I'm not qualified to say. I don't know.
I will.
I mean, if it's a bioweapon.
Right. Then, I mean, we don't know. We don't know. But
I don't on balance think it was. I'll tell you. The only reason I'll tell you why I don't think it was is if it was a bioweapon, it seems to me an odd bioweapon that is more dangerous for old people than young people, when it's young people who, you know, run an economy and fight in armies. But, you know, I am not a scientist in this field. I keep an open mind. You know, certainly an investigation does need to happen. I predict we will know the answers, by the way. This time next year, we will know exactly everything. That's my
own personal guess. You're optimistic.
Yes, I am.
I don't think we'll ever know, but...
I am. I mean, we may have walls of denials. But we will get to the truth of that. I am reasonably certain. Alex, can I just point out something? If somebody covers things up, let's say China covers things up, that in itself creates a document trail. I mean, but a cover up is itself evidence. Never forget that. One of the reasons, for example, I take a different view on MH17 than most people, or at least than the official line does, is as far as I can see, the Russians didn't cover up. They were quite open. They provided evidence. The Dutch weren't looking at it. With the OPCW, as we have seen and reported in our videos, it's a completely different story. If the Chinese are hiding something, then we will have a very shrewd idea by this time next year, even if it's only because they're covering up. That's well, what I think.
We don't know. It's all speculation, but
it is speculation.
I do think it's interesting that the entire narrative of the wet market and the bat and all of that stuff has much faded away, and no one's talking about that. Yeah, so I think we do have an understanding that this thing, one way or another, originated in a laboratory in Wuhan.
Right.
That laboratory is close to the city. I think it's close to the city in much the same way that the Skripal case, to me, was always odd that you had this Novichok, which was in Salisbury, and you had the laboratory just a few miles down the road as well.
A point, by the way, which the British don't like to be reminded about. Alex, I keep an open mind about this laboratory thing. I mean, what you've discussed is what you might call evidence by omission, positive evidence, actual evidence of a leak. That is what I would like to see. If it happened, I predict it will come. But so far, we haven't seen it. So, let's keep an open mind. I'm not saying this theory is wrong. What I'm saying is I keep an open mind. I follow what this said. We may find that that is exactly what happened.
Here's where I'm a little more pessimistic, and I go back to the Skripals. When did that event happen?
It's March, March 2018.
We still don't know what really happened.
Two years.
We still don't know what really happened.
We don't.
And we don't even know where they are.
Well, we don't know where they are.
How troubling is that?
Well, there is a report. I mean, I've seen it in one of John Helmer, the Russianist journalist. He's written a very interesting book on this subject, in which he said that and provided good reasons to think that they're being held on a military base in Britain and that they are still alive, probably. But, where are they? I mean, it's very troubling that people don't ask those questions. But can I just say something again? One of the reasons why I'm very skeptical about the official story in Britain is yet again the same reason that I just said. The British are not being forthcoming with information. They're not being forthcoming information. You would expect that Yulia Skripal and Sergei Skripal would be visible, to at least reassure us that they are still alive, and would be giving their own accounts of things in public by now. The fact that they are not is evidence itself.
Yeah.
It's evidence itself. So, I mean, always remember that. And by the way, when I say evidence, I think it's also evidence that a court could work with, if it ever came to a court. So
that's incredible. All of this is happening in the UK as well.
Well, in the
UK as well, you can't find where Yulia and Sergei Skripal are.
Well, of course,
the UK.
Well, the British authorities know, but can I just say once again, and not for the first time, the British political class has behaved appallingly. And where is the opposition Labour Party in this?
Where is Russia? These are Russian citizens.
Well, indeed. As I understand it, they do bring it up. And it does appear in their media from time to time. But certainly in the West and in Britain itself, nothing. Nothing. It's not a non-story here. It's an un-story here. It's not reported.
What a tragedy.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's get to our video.
Mm-hmm.